briefly over at Psalm 66, just some passing thoughts on it. It's not necessarily considered always a Thanksgiving psalm, but it's speaking of giving, I think, thanksgiving, particularly praise unto the Lord. Psalm 6, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou and thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, the silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, and thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. I will go into my house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Really, the whole psalm's about thanksgiving to God and what he's accomplished and what he's done. And, you know, we live in a day and age, there's wars and rumors of war, crime and violence. Things seem to be waxing worse and worse, and I guess to some extent they are. The Lord said the time would come when, quote, men's hearts failing them for fear as they looked upon what was transpiring in the earth about them, and an evidence of his return. And yet, in spite of all, you know, these things that may tend to press down upon us, as the psalmist said here, you know, he caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou brought us out in a wealthy place. God's faithful. We have reasons to give thanksgiving for what he's done in the past, for what he's doing in the present, and for what he will do in the future. And just maybe pulling a couple verses out of here. Verse 5 says this, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Of course, the reference there is to Israel. And Israel was grateful for their heritage. You know, the patriarchs, you know, the calling out of Abraham and Moses, Jacob and Isaac, and all those that followed the Lord, stepped out in faith. The prophets of Israel who faithfully proclaimed the word of God. So they had much to be thankful for as they looked towards their past. They could look upon those things and see what God had done. And certainly we, I think, as Christians, as Americans, have such a godly heritage. Now we can look back and see what God has done through men, through nations, in particular what God has done through His Son. Of course, the whole redemption of Israel, the bringing out, the Exodus is a picture, is a type of God's redemption of His elect. The purchase of Christ's atoning death. And so we have that to reflect back upon in the past, to give thanksgiving for what's transpired in the past. Again, our American and our Baptist forebears and the heritage that we receive from them. You know, those who labored faithfully, you know, to preserve and transmit the Word of God. God preserves His Word, but He used men to do it. You know, the Albigenses and many of those, you know, died, you know, standing upon the Word of God. And then in more recent times, you know, men were burned at the stake and cast asunder. God's Word was going to be preserved, but you know what? They still were burned at the stake. And we don't know what may lie before us, but we know we can trust God and we can thank Him for those who went before us. You know, on a more personal level, we can thank perhaps our parents or grandparents and look back on some of those things. Perhaps sometimes we look back on our own lives if you get into genealogy, and I see some links and some faith that I didn't even know about that somehow got passed down through the ages, and those that God's pleased to graft in. And again, as I already mentioned, we kind of can look back on our own experience and see how God brought us to Himself in the past. A unique circumstance. Not always as dramatic as Paul's, but just as unique as the Lord brought, and as the Lord brought together this little fellowship. I mean, we all can tell stories, you know, how the Lord brought us here to this point, to this time. It's not chance. It's not happenstance. And again, as God's been gracious to allow us to learn some things, to know some things, He's revealed, He's opened our eyes. And the more He opens our eyes, I think the more we understand how little we understand. But I'm thankful that, you know, He's been pleased to teach us some things. And again, most men wouldn't count this as much, but to us, it's everything. We can look at God's blessing as well in the present. If you look at verses 8 and 9, it says, "Oh, bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of His praise be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." You know, regardless of what comes our way, He holds our souls in life. Again, as the psalmist said there, He caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire. We went through the water. But He holdeth our soul in life. He suffereth not our feet to be moved. You know what a blessed thought that is, because how often would we fail? How often would we lose our faith, were it possible? But for His preserving grace, He suffereth not our feet to be moved. God is active in His people. God is active in His people day by day and moment by moment. Sometimes we don't dwell upon that. We don't think upon that. But sometimes it's when we've come through the worst that we come to realize those things. And we've not all passed through what Job's passed through. But the one verse that, I don't know, people have life verses. I tend to have different verses that come, but this verse has always stuck with me, that Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Job didn't understand what was happening. His friends certainly didn't understand what was happening. And as they poured this upon Job's head, Job would come to the realization, and you read, we talk about the patience of Job, but if you read the book, you'll see that Job didn't always have the kind of patience that we would want to follow in all cases either. But he's eventually brought to that realization, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And I will maintain mine own ways before him. He says, I'm going to walk as he's told me to. Now, regardless, I'll maintain mine own ways before him. I'll do what the book says. Or as the psalmist says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we have much to thank for in the past and the present. As God sustains, God preserves. And but for his sustaining, preserving hand, we would all fall. And then I pick out one verse there as we look towards the future, and you can look at others there as well, but verse 4 says, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. All the earth shall worship thee. Now there may be some again that would want to call us hard shells, and I don't even know exactly what that's supposed to mean anymore, but I do believe the hard shells of Scripture. When it says all the earth shall worship thee, that's going to happen. That's a hard shell. But God has ordained, what God has willed, what God has decreed shall be accomplished, and all the earth shall worship thee. As we look towards the future thanksgiving of God, and shall sing unto thee, and shall sing to thy name. We don't really know a great deal, but we do know that God prevails. And we know that his decree will be accomplished in every detail. We know that the victory is his. We can say with John, as he concluded that final book in our scriptures, says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We know that he prevails. We know that he's coming back for his people. We know that we will ultimately be victorious. And truthfully, we're victorious moment by moment, but we don't always comprehend that part of it. As I've often said, there's really only two things we need to know. Number one, God is sovereign. And number two, he loves his people with an everlasting love. Now, if we know those two things, there's not a whole lot else that really matters. Well, not that it doesn't matter at all, but there's not a whole lot else that can intervene. There's not a whole lot else that can throw us off track. God's sovereign. And he loves his people with an everlasting love. Now, with that knowledge, you know, we can face anything. As verse 7 says there, back in the psalm, says, he ruleth by his power forever. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves against him. Selah. Think about that. God is sovereign. And I pray that it'll please God in the coming year to keep us all, as Brother Dale said, thankful. To keep us thankful. And to keep us faithful. And that's my prayer. That's my desire. But I know it's only accomplished by his grace. It's not accomplished by human effort. But it's not accomplished without struggle and trial and travail. As again, men may ride over our heads, we may go through the fire and the water, but he'll bring us unto a wealthy place. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 6. My faith looks up to thee.
looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee, pure, warm, and changeless be. Dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide, bid darkness turn today, wipe sorrow's tears away. Oh, let me ever stray from the sight.
Father, again, we do thank thee for this day that set aside as yours, or the first day our Savior rose triumphant over death. Lord, having finished our redemption on Calvary's cross, our such love is beyond our comprehension. Lord, thank thee for making us the recipients of it. Lord, thank you for your sustaining grace that keeps us throughout every day. For surely without it, we would fall. Lord, thank you for all you've poured out upon us. Lord, as we've often paused the last several days in thanksgiving, and yet, Lord, how far we fall short. Lord, as we ought to always give thanksgiving unto thee. Lord, thank you for one another. Thank you for our families. Lord, thank you for the fellowship of the saints, for brothers in the ministry you've allowed us to be acquainted with. Thank thee that thou art the sovereign God. Lord, that we can trust in thee, because you are sovereign, because you do love your people. Lord, with that knowledge, I pray that we go forward in thankfulness and in faithfulness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.